All right.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. This just in, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow this morning. So do not put away the snow shovels, okay? Because just in case. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 8 in just a few moments here. We are continuing our series on building stronger relationships. Today, we're going to be taking a look at what it means to create a safe environment. Creating a safe environment. Now, addressing husbands and wives, Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 33, he said, "Husbands, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." A man and his wife from Kentucky who had been married for 45 years went on a vacation to Jerusalem. And while they were there, the husband suddenly passed away with a heart attack. And the funeral director told his wife, "You know, you can have your husband shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury him here in the Holy Land for $150. And the wife thought about it, and she said, "No, I just want to go ahead and ship him back home." And the funeral director asked, "Well, why would you spend $5,000 to ship your husband home when it would be wonderful to be buried here in the Holy Land, and all you spend is $150. And the woman replied, "Well, long ago, a man died here, was buried here, and rose from the dead 3 days later, and I just don't want to take that chance." Now, I may be wrong, but something tells me that that household wasn't a very peaceful and safe environment, okay? The apostle of love, first in John, tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love." Now, this is the kind of love, that perfect love, this is the kind of love that we are to strive to develop in our lives and in our relationships, and it is a continual process, amen? It is a continual process. And John said that perfect love drives out fear. It was demonstrated, you know, if we demonstrate a perfect love towards, you know, those who are in our closest relationships, then they will have no reason to fear, but will feel safe. Now, the Apostle Paul, in what is known as the love chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, describes what real love, true love, looks like. So let's look at that passage here, 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. Paul writes, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Love never fails. I mean, can't you see if we demonstrate that kind of love toward our husband or wife, parents or children, friends, neighbors, co-workers, fellow Christians, how our relationships can grow and flourish in a safe environment? Our problem is that we are not perfect people. And sadly, we bring stuff into our relationships that sometimes makes the other person not feel safe. Counselor and author, the late David Powlison, in his book, Renewing Marital Intimacy, writes, he says, safety is when you feel free to open up and reveal who you really are and know that the other person will still love, accept, and value you no matter what. This is the relationship that we are to have, but they're often, our relationships are often not that way. We haven't always made it safe for the person in our relationship, and it hasn't always been safe for us. And when it's not safe in your relationship, we begin to build walls. Build walls of safety to protect ourselves. And these walls manifest themselves in different ways. We shut down. We distance ourselves. We engage in only casual conversation, not really deep communication. We leave and terminate the relationship. So what can we do to create a safe environment? Let's take a look at four things. Number one, respect the walls. Say that with me. Respect the walls. Now, this is a tough one, especially for men, because we like to fix things, okay? We like to fix it. And when a relationship wall goes up between us and our wife or our children, a coworker, a friend, we want that wall to come down now. Am I right about that? We want that wall to come down. So what do? Well, we grab a sledgehammer and we start pounding on that wall, trying our best to break it down. I mean, we don't realize it, that all that does is just, you know, has the other person to build up more layers of resistance, because you just simply can't break it down like that. Walls are always built by people who feel threatened. They feel threatened in some way. Behind every wall, we find the person who feels unsafe. And usually that person doesn't want to stay closed or defensive in any way, because however they feel that they need to do that, because their environment, again, it feels unsafe. And so he or she builds walls for protection and self-preservation. Now, you may know people who erect these kind of walls. It may be someone who has been physically or sexually abused in some way, and they just have a general distrust toward other people. It may be a husband and wife shutting down in emotionally because his or her spouse was unfaithful. It may be a teenager who locks him or herself up in the room to avoid the constant criticism from his or her parents. It may be a Christian who quits coming to a church because of the judgmental spirit of some of her brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, maybe you have erected some of these walls because you feel hurt or betrayed or belittled in some way. And whatever the reasons, these walls go up because people no longer feel safe. And if we want the walls to come down, then we need to respect the wall and do what we can to create a safe place for the other person, because safety comes when we are valued by others. That's how you develop safety, is when the person you are with in your relationship feels valued by you. Again, remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that true love is patient and always protects. Okay? It always protects. Secondly, to create a safe environment, we need to honor others. Will you say this with me? Honor others. Okay? We need to honor others. And to honor others, again, simply means to value others. How valuable are your relationships? I mean, I want you to think about that right now. How valuable is your husband to you? How valuable is your wife, your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, your brothers and sisters in Christ, the people you work with? How valuable are they? I mean, if you suddenly lost your husband or wife in a car accident, would that leave a void in your life? If your teenage son ran away from home, would you ever give up looking for him? Would you ever give up? Would you ever quit hoping and praying that one day he would return? I mean, we often take our relationships for granted. Have you ever taken a relationship for granted? Yeah, I think most of us have. You know, I mean, they're always going to be there. They're always going to love us. They're always going to, you know. But we take our relationships for granted. But if something suddenly happened to them, we would deeply, deeply regret it. Over the years, I have officiated funerals of people who have tragically lost their lives from car accidents and suicide and murder. And, you know, and often what I hear from loved ones with such hurt in their voice is, I didn't get a chance to tell him that I loved him. I didn't get the chance to kiss her goodbye. And I don't know about you, but personally, I know I need to do a better job and showing my wife, my children, my friends, my fellow Christians, how much I appreciate them and what they mean to you, mean to me. We need to do a better job in letting those within our relationship know that you mean so much to me. You are valuable. You are valuable to me. Because the people around us need to feel valuable. They need to feel valued. In Philippians 2 verse 3, the Apostle Paul said this. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others what? Better than yourselves." Did you see the word better? I mean, not just as important, but more so. I mean, can you imagine how wonderful our relationships would be if we actually applied this principle, you know, to our marriage, to our children, to our parents, to our church family, to our co-workers, if we actually considered them better than ourselves? I mean, if I consider others better than myself, I will seek out and do what is best for them and not just what benefits me. Man, long as I get what I want, you know, that's what really matters. I mean, again, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, he says that love is not self-seeking. It is not self-seeking. And in that kind of environment, there is tremendous safety knowing that you are valued by the other person no matter what. No matter what. There was a man who decided to ask his boss for a raise in salary. And it was Friday, and he told his wife that morning what he was about to do. And all day long, you know, the man felt nervous and apprehensive. But late in the afternoon, he summed up enough courage to go to see his employer. And to his light, his boss agreed to the raise. And the man arrived home to a beautiful table set with the best china. Candles were lighted. His wife prepared a festive meal. And immediately, he figured that someone at the office must have tipped her off. And finding his wife in the kitchen, he told her the good news, and they embraced and kissed, and they sat down for a wonderful meal. And next to his plate, the man found a beautiful handwritten card. And the card read, "Congratulations, darling. I knew you'd get the raise. These things will tell you how much I love and appreciate you." While on his way to the kitchen to get dessert, he noticed that another card had fallen from his wife's pocket. And picking it off the floor, it read, "Darling, don't worry about not getting the raise. You deserved it anyway, but these things will tell you how much I love and appreciate you." Raise, no raise, was not going to change the way that this wife loved and appreciated her husband. Thirdly, if we want to create a safe environment, we need to quit nitpicking. Say that with me. Quit nitpicking. Now, this is a tough one. There are some people who seem to enjoy just going around looking for and pointing out all the faults in others. Do you know people like that? We know people like that. They constantly correct you. If you misspeak, they correct you. If they don't like the clothing you're wearing, they'll let you know. If you misspelled a word on Facebook, they will let you and everybody on your friends list know that you misspelled that word. That is not how you spell that word. I mean, we all know people like that who like to nitpick, fault find, nag. I mean, we know people like that. But do you know how Solomon describes a nagging wife? In Proverbs 19, verse 13, and 27, verse 15, Solomon said that she is like a constant dripping. I mean, like a dripping faucet, you know, drip, 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 drip. I mean, it just drives you crazy. And believe me, Solomon knew exactly what he was talking about because he had 700 wives, according to 1 Kings 11, verse 5. I mean, it wasn't a dripping faucet. It was Niagara Falls. You know what I'm saying? Man, have to deal with that. Where there is constant criticism, nitpicking, and nagging, you just don't feel safe. Am I right about that? You just don't feel safe. And this is especially true of the home, between, you know, husbands and wives, parents and children. Again, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Man, you need to underscore that in your Bible. Love keeps no record of wrongs. In Proverbs 10, verse 12, again, Solomon writes, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. And then Peter tells us this way. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, he says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. I mean, these passages aren't teaching that we are to overlook the sins of others and never confront them. That's not what these passages are saying. In fact, that contradicts what the Bible says elsewhere. But does that mean that we have to go around just pointing out every annoyance, every fault, every little sin that others commit? Is that what that means? And if so, what about our personal sins? What if somebody went out and just pointed out every single fault, every sin, every wrong, every annoyance that you do? Man, just think about that. Think what that would be like. So wives, do you have to correct your husband every time he embellishes a fishing story, you know, even to the embarrassment of his friends? You know that fish wasn't that big. It was more like, you know. I mean, do you really have to correct them? And husbands, just because your wife forgot to grab your favorite cereal when she went grocery shopping, is it worth getting upset and going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Is it really? Is it really worth all of that? I mean, sometimes we just love to nitpick and nitpick. And believe me, when you have so much, you know, critical negativism in your home, you just do not feel safe. You don't feel safe. I promise you that your relationship will be so much better if you can learn to just, you know, man, just quit being so critical and negative all the time. Your home life would be so much more peaceful and joyful. You'll actually feel like coming home from work instead of just avoiding going back home for work. And so we need to quit nitpicking, all right? But then number four, to create a safe environment, you've got to earn trust. Say that with me, earn trust. Now, when other people see us as trustworthy, well, they feel safer. They feel safe. They feel safe with us. And being trustworthy is demonstrated in many ways. We're just going to look at these here, if you are keeping notes. First of all, is keeping your promises. You know, keep your promises. When you say you will do something, do it. If you say it, do it. Keep your promise. Also, be truthful. Be truthful and honest. Be truthful in all this. Don't lie to the other person. Don't lie. I mean, just be truthful. Truth sometimes hurts, okay? And the Bible tells us that we are to always speak the truth in love. But man, be truthful. Thirdly, be protective. Be protective. Don't intentionally put a person in a position to be hurt. I have seen this happen so many times. I have done it myself. We've got to be protective of our loved ones, protective of your spouse, protective of your children, protective of your brothers and sisters. We need to be protective. Number four, keep confidences. Keep confidences. Don't go around gossiping about the other person. And if someone comes to you and begins to gossip about somebody, say to that person, I'm not the person you should be talking to about that. The one you just said, that's the one you need to be going to and talk to that person. Don't come to me with that, okay? And then finally, number five, remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful to your friends. Remain faithful to your spouse. Remain faithful. And how important that is. You know, creating trustworthy environment is an ongoing responsibility or choice. We should always take into account the value and the vulnerability of people. Never should we, do anything intentionally that will, that will destroy that trust that we have invested in others. And believe me, once you destroy the trust, once that trust is violated, man, it's going to take a long, long, long time to regain that trust again. In fact, wounds take time to heal. When you violate a person's trust, he or she is afraid of being hurt again. They're afraid of being hurt. I mean, it could take years to ever rebuild that trust. And if that happens, be patient with the other person. Be consistent in doing what is necessary to rebuild a trustworthy relationship. Again, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he says, true love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Always. I love this passage from the book of Psalms. In chapter 4, verse 8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You make me dwell in safety. God has a relationship with us that makes us dwell in safety because He loves us, He forgives us, He protects us. And the Word said He's always for us. He's on our side. That's who God is to us. And this is the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with others. He wants us to love others. He wants us to forgive others when they commit offense against us. He wants us to protect others. And He wants people to be for us, to be on our side. He wants us to be on their side. All of this is so important for us to understand and building that safe environment in our home life, at work, at school, in the church, wherever it might be, we've got to do our part. We have to do our part. Paul tells us Romans chapter 12, verse 18. He says, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with everybody. Now, he tells us, first of all, if possible, he begins that passage, if possible, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with everybody. First of all, he wants us to understand that it's not always possible to be at peace with everyone. Okay, we're going to talk more about this next week. Next week is going to be the conclusion of our series. We're going to be talking about resolving conflict next week. But we've got to realize it's not always possible to be at peace with everyone. But Paul says, you do your part. You initiate the peace. You initiate the peace talks. You do your part. And then if people do not want to be at peace with us, that's on them. Okay? That's on them. But we are the ones to be able to reach out and do what we can. This morning we're singing this invitation song. And during this invitation song, it's just an opportunity for you to look deep within your own life. Really, that's what this series has been about. This series has not really been about, you know, what your wife needs to do for you, what your husband needs to do for you, what this person needs to do for you. It is what we need to do. It's all about us and what we need to do to make our relationships better, to make them really what God wants them to be. So it depends on us. And so we need to do our part. So this morning, as we're singing this invitation song, maybe just take a deep look into your life and say, you know, I really have kind of failed here. I need to do better. And if you want somebody to pray for you this morning, we want to do that this morning. Or maybe you're here today and you have yet even to give your life to Jesus. I want to talk to you about that, okay? Because the greatest relationship we could ever have is the relationship that we have with God. Amen? That's the greatest of all relationships. In fact, if your relationship with God is not right, it's kind of hard to have a relationship that is right with other people. So that's what we need to work on. So if we can help you this morning, pray with you, talk to you about whatever that need might be, we want you to come as together we stand and we sing.